16th chapter, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Ches, the 8th Mishnah in Shabbos. This Mishnah really deals with the case of a non-Jew and Inner Yehudi performing malacha for a Jew for his benefit. But really, if a non-Jew does malacha for himself, a Jew would be permitted to derive benefit from such a malacha. However, if the Inner Yehudi, the non-Jew, does this malacha for specifically the intent of the Jew to benefit from it, then a person would not be allowed to benefit from such a malacha on Shabbos. Nochri Shehidli Gesener, a Gentile who lit a lamp for himself. Mishtamish La'oro Yisrael, a Jew may also benefit and use the light that was kindled by the non-Jew. However, Vimishvil Yisrael, if however the Gentile lit this lamp in order so that the Jew would benefit, usur, it would be forbidden for the Jew to benefit from the malacha of the non-Jew unless he plans on benefiting from the light himself. The Mishnah continues, Mi le'mayim lahashkos behemto. If the non-Jew is going to provide drink, water for his animal, for his beast, Mashka Acharav Yisrael. The non-Jew would be permitted also to benefit from this water. We're not concerned that perhaps maybe the non-Jew would draw more water to provide for the Jewish animal. And what is the issue perhaps that we are concerned with? We know that drawing water from a private domain, from a well, which is a private domain, out into the public domain, is forbidden, that is carrying, and we're not allowed to have a non-Jew do malacha for us. But if the non-Jew is going to provide water for his own animal, the Jew would be permitted to benefit from this water. And we're not worried that maybe this non-Jew would draw additional water for the Jew. Now, there's an important caveat here. It must be that this non-Jew does not know the Jew. However, if the Gentile knows the Jew, it would be forbidden, it would be usur for this Jew from watering, providing water for his beast after the Jew, because we would be concerned that the non-Jew would in fact draw additional water for his friend, for his acquaintance, the Jew. Why is it when it comes to kindling a light, we're not worried if the Gentile knows the Jew? And the reason is irrelevant. The person turns on light, a lamp for himself, or the same amount of light for 1,000 people in the room. Drawing water is not the same. You draw a little bit of water for your animal and additional water for someone else's animal. And therefore, if the non-Jew knows the Jew, however, he turns the light on for himself, the Jew would be permitted to benefit from the light. That is not the case should the non-Jew know the Jew in the case of drawing water from a well, leading a non-Jew to carry water from the private domain to the public domain on the Jew's behalf. Next part of the Mishnah reads, Asa goy keves leired bo, if a Gentile makes a ramp upon which to disembark, Yoed Al-Khav Yisrael, a Jew may disembark after him. Vim Bishvil Yisrael Aser, if he did make this plank for the Jew, it would be forbidden for the Jew to benefit from this plank that was made on Shabbos. Again, this is similar to the case before, dealing with the candle, dealing with the lamp. Even if the non-Jew knows the Jew, how he's making it for himself, would still be permitted for the Jew to benefit from it, since at the end of the day, once you build the ramp, you don't build more or less for a second person, so the Jew could benefit from the ramp made by the non-Jew. The Mishnah concludes, Maise v'Rabban Gamliel u'Zakenim. Once happened that Rabbi Gamliel and the elders, Shuvaim b'Sfina, were arriving on a ship, the Asa Goy Keves Leredbo, and the Gentile made a plank by which to disembark, the Yerduvo Rabban Gamliel Uzakenim. Rabbi Gamliel and the elders, in fact, disembarked by the ramp that was made by the non-Jew. The issue here that is also worthwhile explaining, that not only is there an issue of making the ramp, but how could a person leave one's tchum? A person is given a certain tchum when Shabbos begins, the Bina Shmashos, the onset of Shabbos, by nightfall, and a person cannot leave one's tchum, one's domain. Therefore, the Tosefta and the Gemara clarifies that the boat that is traveling at sea was already considered in close proximity to the land, and therefore, it was as if their tchum, as if they acquired their domain on the land when Shabbos began, and therefore they are permitted to, in fact, disembark from the ship, because a person cannot move, cannot travel more than 2,000 amos each direction on the ship. They're permitted to do so because when Shabbos began, they're already in within the 2,000 amos limit. They're already in the proximity of the tchum of the dry land that they were approaching, hence they were permitted to disembark, not just because the ramp was made for the Gentiles to benefit from, but also because they had entered the tchum before Shabbos began. Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. This parak deals with a different topic, the topic of muksa, the notion that a person must set aside specific items in order to use them on Shabbos. What is the reason why Chachamim made a gzera of muksa? There are different reasons why this gzera was enacted by our sages. Some say that in order so that a person's Shabbos does not look like a weekday, if he's permitted to move everything on Shabbos, basically, it's like we could rearrange our garages on Shabbos, we'd lose the spirit of Shabbos. Other interpretations, if we'd be able to move any object that we'd like, we might lead to carrying it. Others actually say that by moving around any objects, you might lead to performing melachos. Regardless, the notion of not moving items that have no function on Shabbos definitely helps create the spirit of Shabbos and helps us really to appreciate what Shabbos is meant to be. And therefore, this parak will discuss various types of muksa, the ramifications and their applications and restrictions. The serious type of muksa is something which has absolutely no benefit whatsoever. It's not a utensil, like stones, like money, and like bricks. Those items could never, under any situation whatsoever, be moved. The Mishnah begins as follows. Kol hakelim nitalin b'Shabbos, all utensils may be taken on Shabbos, v'dalso sehen imahim, and their doors with them, af apli shenisparku b'Shabbos. Even though items, for example, like a box or a chest, which are permitted to be used on Shabbos, even if, let's say, their doors become detached before Shabbos, and therefore, at the beginning of Shabbos, they were not connected. Regardless, such doors would still be permitted to be moved because, really, they're incidental to the actual key themselves. Really, they're part of the door of the door of the box of the chest. It's really considered the function of this box of the chest, and therefore, it would be permitted to use it. As opposed to, in contrast to the doors of a house, which cannot be moved if they are attached to the house. So because these doors were not made to be moved, but rather they are supposed to be used with the house, which they are attached to. And therefore, to move them would be prohibited on Shabbos, even if they would be lying around. They are really a part of a structure. They are not part of a kli at all. Therefore, they cannot be moved on Shabbos if attached.